So welcome again. Again, good morning. For those that don't know me, I'm Pastor Dave. And welcome to New Hope Chapel for this Easter morning. No super church this morning. Sorry, kiddos. So you got to listen to me this morning. That song, Death Was Arrested, I just want to say a little something about that. Jesus took the death we deserve, right? That death we deserve was stopped and put an end to by his life on the cross. The deaths we deserve when he paid that price for our sins and rose up from the dead. He broke the chains of sin and death. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave. Excuse me. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Thank you, Jesus. And praise you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to take a breath. I decided to put a chair here this morning so I could drink get the water easier. So my text this morning will be 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. So if you want to open your Bibles or Bible apps, you can follow along. These words were penned by Peter about 3 decades after the resurrection. 3 decades of trials and tribulations and preaching of the gospel message. 3 decades after he first preached Christ crucified and raised from the dead. So 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm reading, most of my scripture is always going to be from the NASB, so just for reference. So my message this morning is about hope. Hope lost, hope regained. The living hope that we have when we give our lives to Christ. Before the week of events we just observed from Palm Sunday to the resurrection, Peter had spent 3 years following Jesus and listening to his teachings. This week was packed full of those teachings. A large portion of the 4 Gospels centers around this week. It was a week full of emotions. It started out with jubilation, joy, praise, and the excitement of the triumphal entry. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he, the coming king of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Anticipation of what they thought the Messiah was coming to do, and that was to overthrow the Roman rulers. There was astonishment and wondering at the teachings of Jesus in the temple that week. He talked about the stone the builders rejected and has become the cornerstone, meaning himself. Giving to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God's, referring to taxes that were being imposed and questioning why we should give our taxes. Using the example of Moses in the burning bush to show that God is the God of the living and not the dead. When God said from the bush, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He stated the most important commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. He drove the money changers out of the temple, saying, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a robber's den. He gave warnings to the scribes and Pharisees, calling them hypocrites, blind guides, and even vipers because of their pride and oppression of their own people with man-made laws. Jesus told them these of signs and wonders and predictions of the end times, the great tribulation. He said, You will hear of wars and rumors and wars. And he went on to describe all those things of the end times. And he lamented over Jerusalem, saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, a way the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. They even heard God speak from heaven in response to Jesus' request to glorify his name. I just couldn't imagine that. So it was a very busy week, and I have even just getting to Thursday night, Thursday night was a night into Friday morning. It was full of sorrow, humility, betrayal, denial, and defeat, even fear. That's when Jesus instituted the Last Supper, our communion that we celebrate. He washed the disciples' feet, giving them a lesson on being a humble servant. Jesus predicted that Judas was going to betray him. He didn't call him by name, but he said someone here at this table of the 12 disciples was going to betray him. And there were many other teachings during that Passover meal by Jesus to the 12. He promised the Holy Spirit. He foretold his death and resurrection yet again. Jesus' prediction of Peter's denial. And the prayer in Gethsemane, the heartfelt prayer of Jesus to his Father, but in the end saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." Then there was the betrayal by Judas with a kiss. The arrest of Jesus, the desertion by the disciples, and then Peter denying he even knew Jesus 3 times, making Jesus' prediction come true. Then the horror, grief, and disbelief of Friday's torture, crucifixion and burial, and then silence, a day of doubt that Saturday. There's a song by All Sons and Daughters called "Buried in the Grave." There's a line in that that goes, "There was a day we held our breath and felt the sting of bitter death when all our hopes were buried in the grave." The wind of the disciples' sails, their hopes was dead and buried. Oh, how the devil must have been rejoicing that day. So in the life of the disciples, it certainly was an emotional roller coaster. They had begun the week on such an emotional high with hopes for overflow of the Romans. But as the week progressed, I'm sure they started to question what was happening. Jesus didn't focus on the Romans at all. In fact, he was actually saying, "Give to them what's theirs. Pay them the taxes." Instead, Jesus' focus was on the hearts of people, their relationship with the Father. Their religious system was far from honoring the Father. Again, the emotions and feelings of the disciples must have been filled with confusion, doubt, disbelief, fear, defeat, grief, and hopelessness. And I picked Peter's scripture specifically because I'm thinking about Peter while this is all going on and how he must have felt on Friday and Saturday. He had spoken so boldly before Jesus' arrest that he was ready to go to prison and death. But Jesus told him that before the rooster crowed, he would deny him 3 times. And the Bible tells us that Peter did deny him 3 times. And on the 3rd time, Jesus' eyes met his. How that must have stung. The Bible actually tells us that Peter was so convicted at that point, he went out and bitterly wept. The Bible doesn't record any other information about Peter between his 3rd denial and the resurrection. We don't know what he was thinking or doing or where he even was. He no doubt knew that Jesus had been crucified and was buried in the tomb. One could imagine he was off somewhere in some state of discouragement, doubt, and hopelessness, wondering what he had just spent the last 3 years of his life doing. His hope that Jesus was the Christ and what he thought that meant was all dead with Jesus in the tomb. His hope, as well as all of other Jesus' followers, was misplaced. His hope was on a king that would conquer the Romans and reestablish the independent state of Israel, a king that would put an end to the endless taxation and oppression. His hope was on the things of man, the temporary, the fleshly things that do not last forever. He didn't understand that was never the purpose of the Messiah. He didn't understand that the purpose of the Messiah was to save their souls from their sinful flesh. His hope was placed on the perishable, the things that die. So from his perspective, when Jesus was crucified and buried in the grave, his hopes were buried with him. But then it all changed on a Sunday morning. From verse 3 of this morning's text, we can see that Peter, the disciple that had denied Jesus 3 times, attached a special importance to the resurrection of Christ. That Sunday morning, the Gospel of Mark records in chapter 16, verses 1 through 7, another account of that morning. Pastor Bob read the Matthew's account. So this is what it says in Mark. "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, He's in the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And Peter. When Peter heard those words, and that he was specifically included, he must have had restored hope in his heart. Two of the gospel accounts even record Peter ran to the tomb upon hearing it was empty. And there was a race between he and John. Hope was being reborn in his heart. In Peter's first sermon recorded in Acts 2, we hear him preaching Christ crucified and raised from the dead, that soon after the resurrection. His eyes had been opened to all that Jesus was teaching, and he finally got it. I can even imagine the joy that was overflowing within him, resulting in laughter as it hit him. "I was so blind. Why didn't I get it?" But he finally got it. And after 30 years of preaching that message, he was still proclaiming it. As we read in 1 Peter 1:3, it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ that Peter attributed to the living hope that we are giving when we are born again by God's great mercy. So what does Peter mean by a living hope? What is a living hope? First, what it is not. A living hope is not a dead hope. A living hope is not something we use to stir up positive thinking, like, "I hope you have a good time on your trip." A living hope is not something we use for motivation. "I hope I can do better and get that promotion at work." It's not a probable hope, a hope that we may or may not come to pass. "I hope to win $1 million. It's not that kind of hope. A living hope is alive. It's breathing. It's active. And it's endless. It's a hope given by God that is real and true. It actually exists. It's active and functioning. It is a hope that acts and works in the heart of a believer. The promise of eternal life is a living hope because it is a reality. It exists in another world, a spiritual world, a world that is more real than the one we live in. It is a hope of the believer that lives, acts, and works in them now, even while they are here on earth. The believer's hope is a living hope because it's not in a principle. It's in a person, the resurrected Jesus Christ. Billy Graham once said, "The greatest need of our world today is the need for hope. We thrive on hope. We rejoice in hope. We witness in hope, knowing that experience works hope. Happy is he whose hope is in the Lord," from Psalm 146. There is hope for the future. It is centered in the person of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the grave and is alive now. "I have staked all that I am or ever hope to be on him," end quote. Can we say that? Have we staked everything on the person of Jesus Christ? Hope set on anything other than the person of Jesus Christ is a dead hope. It will not last past this life. Hope set on the person of Jesus Christ is a living hope and will last for all eternity. So why does the resurrection give us a living hope? When Jesus died and was buried in the grave, the disciples' hope that he would deliver them from the rule of Rome died with him. When he rose from the grave, when he overcame death, he gave us the proof of who he was. Romans 1:4 says he was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. He made claims to be the Son of God. Now, by that the resurrection, it was proved. By resurrecting Jesus from the dead on Sunday, God gave us the receipt for the atonement made on Friday. Let me say that again. By resurrecting Jesus from the dead on Sunday, God gave us the receipt for the atonement made on Friday. The debt we owed was paid in full. When Jesus rose from the grave, he accomplished what he promised in John 10:28, "And I will give eternal life to them." He was referring to his sheep, those who believe in him. Paul stated in Romans 5, verses 9 through 10, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. And more, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life." saved by his life. That is the resurrection life, resurrected life of Christ Jesus. Paul further states in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming." Believers, did you hear that? Because Christ was first raised from the dead, when he comes again, if you are in Christ, if you believe in Christ Jesus, you will be raised up to life with him. This is the living hope that we have because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the inheritance reference in the text this morning as well. Verse 4, we will be raised up with him at his coming, and it is reserved in heaven for those who are in Christ. And that reservation is secured by the power of the creator of the universe, as we see in verse 5. If you are believers are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if he is your Lord, if you trust him, hear Peter's words about your salvation. It is protected by the power of God, and it is reserved for you in heaven. If you trust in Christ, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have a hope that nobody can touch and nobody can take away. No circumstance in life can increase it or diminish it. It is impervious to anything that happens in this life, because it is guarded by the creator of the universe. I'm going to tie this a little bit into Pastor Bob's sermon from Friday, if you heard it. If you didn't, go listen to it. Christ, he preached from 1 Peter 3:18. And Christ died once and for all, for the just and for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. He didn't bring us to God just for this life. It was not a temporary thing like Christ's time in the tomb. With the resurrection and the guarantee of eternal life, for those that believe in Christ Jesus, we have that access to God now and forever. Amen. That is the believer's hope, a living hope for all eternity. Is your hope a living hope? Is it trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ and the promised resurrection of believers? Are you putting your hope in the temporary things of this world? If your hope is in the resurrection, it will give you joy and the energy to live life now, no matter what this world throws at you. Trials are blessings, good things are bad things. None of them have the final word, because our hope is waiting for us in heaven. As believers, you've heard me say this before, we're also supposed to tell others about this hope, this living hope. Peter emphasized this in 1 Peter 3:15 when he said to always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Speak the truth in love and tell others about the living hope that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't end this without doing this as well. How about those who don't trust in Jesus Christ? Is your hope only on the things of this world? Hope that is temporary and perishable? It will not last. It will fade away. My prayer for you is that the words that I have spoken this morning will prompt you to seek out the hope that is in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, and his resurrection. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive God's mercy. Receive his grace. Receive the promise of eternal life with him that has been reserved for those that believe in heaven. Trust the one who has sent you, for as it says in John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For if God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Jesus came into the world to save those who believe in him from eternal punishment. He gave his life for you. He paid the penalty we all deserve by dying on the cross. By resurrecting him from the dead, God put his stamp on that receipt that the debt was paid in full and that we also would be raised to eternal life with him. That is the good news of the gospel, the living hope of eternal life with God that I have spoken about today. You have a choice. Believe in him, confess your sins, and be saved, or reject the gift and be condemned. There is no better time to make that decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ than right now. Would you do so today? Could I have the praise team come up? We're going to sing a song, but if you want to know more about making a decision for Christ, talk to myself, talk to Pastor Bob, Pastor Dan, or anybody around that knows the Lord. I encourage you to do that. You got the music there, thanks. So, Father God, I just want to thank you and praise you for your Son. I want to thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice on the cross for our sins. I want to give you the glory, Lord, for that resurrection and that promise of eternal hope that you have given us, Lord God. We look forward to that day when we will be again with you again in heaven, Lord God. We thank you for the promise that you give and sealing it by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. If anyone here has not made a decision for Christ today, I pray that they would turn to you, Lord, that they would confess their sins, that they would realize their sins and turn from them and just put their heart, mind, soul, body, and spirit in your hands, Lord God, and that you would transform them into the person that you want them to be, a follower of your Son, and to be more like Jesus Christ. Oh, we give you all the glory, Lord God, and we praise your holy name, in your precious name, amen. So let us go out of here today filled with hope that we have the power of the resurrection within us, the living hope that we will one day be resurrected into heaven for all eternity. May God bless your gatherings today and the rest of your week.